Today, Donald Trump makes his first foreign trip as the Republican presidential nominee to Mexico, a country he said sends rapists and criminals over the border. Trump is taking up an invitation from Mexican President Enrique Peña Nieto, who has a 23% approval rating at home and who has likened Trump to Hitler. At least two anti-Trump demonstrations are being held in Mexico City today. And later tonight in Arizona, Trump will give a much-anticipated speech on immigration. Meanwhile, Hillary Clinton makes her first public appearance in days with a speech to the American Legion National Convention in Cincinnati as she continues to struggle with questions about her private emails and Clinton Foundation donors. Joining us now, a regular political analyst, Angela Rye, Democratic consultant. She's with us by Skype. Hi, Angela.
Thank you.
And Paris Denard is also with us. He is a Republican consultant. Paris, welcome back to you as well.
Hey, Jeremy. Glad to be here.
Okay. Paris, what do you think of this trip to Mexico?
I mean, I think this is a good thing. I think this is a presidential move that Mr. Trump is doing. He is meeting with the president who invited both Mr. Trump and Secretary Clinton to meet with him. And as I understand it, Secretary Clinton did not accept the invitation, and Mr. Trump is going down there before his speech. This is what leaders do, and this is what presidents do. They meet with people even when they have disagreements, and they're going to come together and hash out some of the differences that they may have. But I do believe that they have a lot of similarities because of the economic problems that are going on in our country are similar to the problems that are going on in Mexico.
Angela, what do you think about this trip?
So a couple of things. I think it's important to note that Hillary Clinton did not decline the invitation. She has not agreed to go yet.
And I should think she, that's do you think?
Absolutely. I think she's demonstrated during her career as the Secretary of State that she would go anywhere to meet with anyone to ensure that our diplomatic relations are strong. I think that her rhetoric has matched that record. Unfortunately, I don't think that's the case for Donald Trump. So this is a big risk for him. But if it goes well, it's a tremendous reward. And it does give him the opportunity to shore up some of the voters that he lost during the primary season who are brown people. There is, of course, a hashtag coming out of Mexico today that's hashtag Trump not welcome. So we'll see how he's able to reverse course there.
Do you think, Paris, that there are risks to the visit? Because we remember back when Mitt Romney went to London during the 2012 campaign and they came out with the hashtag or the headline Mitt the Twit after that visit.
Look, there's a risk in everything that you do in politics, but no risk, no reward. Mr. Trump is an excellent negotiator, and he's a lifelong businessman who has dealt with leaders of foreign countries and businessmen all across this country. So this is nothing that is out of the ordinary for him. So I believe that what he's doing is demonstrating that he is capable of being presidential. It's a good thing for the country, and it's a good thing for Mexico that the two leaders are coming together, because if there is going to be a Trump administration, they will have to work together.
And Angela, as you look at the bigger issue here of the immigration policy, do you think that Trump is changing his position on immigration and on illegal immigration? And should the Clinton campaign be worried if he is?
Anyone with two ears knows that Donald Trump has changed at least the way that he's discussing immigration policy. I don't know that there was ever a clear policy. Donald Trump talked about having Mexico build a wall since the very beginning of his campaign. Donald Trump talks about Mexicans being drug dealers and rapists, and that is how he rolled out the campaign. That is a founding principle of his campaign. I think the distinction here now is he says that he wants to deal with the immigration problem in a more humane way. Well, if 11 million people still need to be deported and he doesn't support, you know, the president's executive actions on DACA or DAPA, then it's still not a humane way. The campaign has continued to talk about getting rid of or deporting criminals. Are you talking about those who already spent time in jail? Well, if that's the case, you know, I think even that is interesting. And what does the process look like? I think the final thing is the campaign continues to talk about ICE and in allowing them to do their job. Well, that is also new, because before they said that ICE was failing us and the Obama administration was failing us. If they're allowing ICE to do their job, then that is exactly what Barack Obama did, and same thing under George W. Bush.
All right. I want to switch gears here, because let's talk about emails, which is just a story that has gone on and on and on. And now the State Department says it's analyzing 30 emails that were not forwarded to the FBI for its investigation. It says could be about the Benghazi attack. Angela, how long is this going to go on? And is this harming Clinton in the polls that it's just every day there's another story about either pay for play in the Clinton Foundation or the emails? It's kind of one long thread that just keeps coming.
I think, yes, Jeremy. I mean, any campaign would not want this level of distraction. I think that there have been valid questions raised, asked and answered. I think that Hillary Clinton has demonstrated over time her willingness to apologize for it. I also think that she's made some missteps in dealing with the email issue. I think that this needs to be taken seriously and they have to correct it and try to move on. I think the challenge is every time they try to pivot, there is another story. I don't know, you know, why that continues to happen. I know, for example, there was an AP piece that was put out last week, you know, scathing about the Clinton Foundation. And the problem was they didn't analyze a full universe of emails. And I think that the Clinton campaign and other news sources did a great job of beating back that report. But I think we have to wait to see what happens with the emails the State Department is analyzing. I think they said by the end of September.
You know, Jeremy, look, it continues to reinforce this theme of somebody that can't be trusted, somebody that's not being honest and shooting straight with you, and somebody who the rules don't apply to them. The American people and a lot of millennials don't like that, and it's not going to sit well, and it has the potential to really hurt her in the polls.
Angela, on the issue of the Clinton Foundation, why don't the Clintons just say, we're going to shut it down if she becomes president? We'd rather be in the White House again than have the foundation and be in the White House?
So, Jeremy, a couple of things. With all due respect, I think a number of people who continue to raise the question have never run a large enterprise. And I think it's clear because even when you're talking about her becoming the president of the United States, their transition teams are in place. Donald Trump's transition team is in place. That's her true. Transition team is in place. And the reason for that is because it takes time to change something over. Right now, you have a Clinton Foundation that services a lot of people globally. If they were to shut down today, number one, you have several people at the Clinton Foundation who are out of jobs. You have contractors who are out of work. You have young people and elderly and, you know, people from all over the world that no longer get services with no warning. That is a major blow to people who don't have anything to do with any email, whether it came from the State Department, the Clinton Foundation, a personal assistant, or anywhere else. Human beings who are benefiting from their services should not suffer. I also don't think that Clinton Foundation employees who are doing good work, doing God's work, should be punished for that. I really don't. I think that they should have time to transition and wind things down and allow the Clintons to get out of that work and not necessarily stop the good work of the foundation.
You buy that, Paris?
No, not really. Look.
That's too bad because it's the truth. I don't lie for candidates.
No, and I'm not lying. Nobody denies that the Clinton Foundation does good work. But what is apparent is that some of the people that are engaged with the Clinton Foundation did some things that are not appropriate as relates to Secretary Clinton and her role. Donations, favors, and things of that nature are inappropriate. And so we have to look at, can she be fair? Can she be honest? And can she be trusted to be president of the United States and run a foundation that has a history of doing things while she was in office that if it happened to anybody else or any other nonprofit or any other billion-dollar organization like Trump has run, they would be shut down? It's a legitimate question.
I want to ask you both about one more thing, which is the polls, which if you look at the Real Clear Politics average of polls in the battleground states, Hillary Clinton is ahead in almost every single one, although her bounce after the convention has certainly come down significantly, and she's ahead in some places just by a tiny bit. But Angela, what do you think when you see the polls? Do you feel confident about the election, or are you a little worried?
No, I'm absolutely worried. I think that you know, this election is something that changes day by day. Arguably, Jeremy, as second by second. And so I think they need to pay close attention not only to the polls, but making sure that they're talking and constantly engaging with targeted constituencies. I think that the Clinton campaign throughout has done a good job of doing that. They've shored up their bases. You know, she did have an advantage here because Bill Clinton, when he was even going out, had a very, very high approval rating. She did very good work as Secretary of State and had a high approval rating there. But she has to constantly work through this. I think that she will probably experience a bounce after the first debate. Hillary Clinton is a formidable debater, and we saw that in 2008 when she got Barack Obama pretty good. So I think this is something that they're going to have to pay close attention to. But luckily, things are still going in her favor.
Paris, what do you think about the polls?
I think Angela Rye is 100% accurate when she says that the candidates need to continue to address and campaign targeted communities. And I think that's what you've seen Mr. Trump do as it relates to the African-American community. And the Economist YouGov poll is proof positive that shows him at 8%, which is above what Mitt Romney received in 2012 at 6% and above what Senator McCain received in 2008 at 2%. And so the more that he continues to chip away at her core demographic and constituency bases, the more he makes inroads and the more he talks directly to these specific communities, I think that he is going to do well. And I think every single day this campaign gets more and more important for us because we can see that the election is going to be tight. It's not going to be a blowout. This election is going to be very, very tight. Every vote is going to matter. Every constituency group is going to matter. And everything they say and do is going to be essential. That's why this trip to Mexico is important for Mr. Trump. That's why his debate performance is very important to Mr. Trump. And that's why I believe his engagement, their specific engagement with African-American and Latino communities is going to be critical.
That's Paris Denard, a Republican strategist and Here Now political analyst, and Angela Rye, Democratic strategist, Here Now political analyst. Thanks to both of you, as always.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Thank you, Jeremy.